You've been told to have faith, but no one told you what faith is. Faith is not just a feeling, nor is it merely hope. This audiobook will explore the concept of faith as more than mere belief or emotion. Faith for Sustenance. Introduction. The invisible is more real than you think. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This verse has echoed through the centuries, quoted in pulpits, whispered in prayer circles, framed on walls. But few have stopped to ask, what does it mean to call faith a substance? If something is substance, it must have weight. It must occupy space. It must change the atmosphere. That's the starting point of this book. We're not here to talk about faith as a feeling that comes and goes. We're here to explore faith as a form of energy. Faith as structure. Faith as a frequency you live inside of, long before your outer life matches it. Neville Goddard taught that imagination, when felt as real, is more powerful than circumstance. Dr. Joe Dispenza showed how belief alters brain chemistry and electromagnetic output. Dr. Joseph Murphy explained that the subconscious responds to emotionally charged commands as if they were laws. And all of them pointed to the same thing. You don't get what you wish for. You get what you assume to be true. In your body, in your mind, and in your energy. Faith, then, is the inner proof before the outer evidence. It's the substance you carry when everything around you still says, not yet. It's not passive. It's not polite. It's creative. It's commanding. And it changes reality, not because it tries hard enough, but because it knows what's already true in the unseen. This audiobook is not here to teach you how to get more. It's here to remind you how to hold more, how to walk in certainty, how to speak from embodiment, how to live from the vibration of the answer, until the field, the mirror, the life around you has no choice but to reflect it. The chapters ahead will guide you through the anatomy of faith, not as a belief system, but as a technology of consciousness. You'll learn how to feel it, speak it, hold it, and return to it, and eventually become it. Because once you understand what faith really is, you'll stop waiting for signs and start living as one. Let's begin. Chapter 1. Faith is a substance. Faith has been misunderstood for centuries. We treat it like a fragile thing, an emotion that comes when the mood is right, or a vague hope that maybe, someday, things will get better. But that's not how Scripture describes it, and that's not how reality responds to it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This isn't poetry. It's mechanics. Faith is not a mood. It's a material field, a tangible, energetic state that emanates from your being. Long before the results show up in your life, Neville Goddard said it simply, faith is loyalty to the unseen reality. It's not about waiting. It's about anchoring. Holding an inner world so consistently that the outer world begins to mirror it, atom by atom, event by event. Dr. Joe Dispenza brings it into science. He teaches that belief doesn't just live in your mind, it shows up in your brain waves, your heart rate, your electromagnetic field. Faith, then, becomes a measurable vibration, a signal you broadcast into the quantum field of infinite potential. And that field responds, not to your begging, but to your frequency. When you carry true faith, not just say you have it. Your thoughts, your emotions, your posture, and your choices begin to align. Your brain begins releasing chemicals that match the desired outcome. Your body shifts into coherence. You radiate wholeness before you have the proof. That's the secret most never understand. You don't receive because your desire arrives. You receive because you have already become the one who had it. Faith is that becoming. It is the substance you hold in invisible form. Until the visible world catches up, Dr. Joseph Murphy taught that the subconscious mind accepts what you feel to be true, not what you say is true, but what you feel over and over again as a lived reality inside. If you say, "I'm healed," but feel like you're still waiting for a miracle, your subconscious doesn't register the words. It registers the fear. But if you say, "I am whole," and feel it deeply, emotionally, somatically, spiritually, then your body, your cells, your external conditions begin to align. Faith isn't wishful thinking. It's energetic instruction. Think of faith like a tuning fork. When you strike it, when you vibrate with certainty, anything that matches that tone begins to resonate with you. Opportunities, people, breakthroughs, synchronicities. But if you never strike the fork, if your faith is waiting for confirmation, you stay out of tune with the very future you're trying to call in. This is why the verse says, "evidence of things not seen." Because by the time the evidence appears, faith has already done its work. It's already shaped the field, already set the tone, already shifted the inner chemistry of reality. You don't need to see it to believe it. You need to believe it until you see it. And even then, your faith was the substance that built it. Here's how you begin. Not with perfect belief, but with daily attention to your frequency. Ask yourself, what does faith feel like in the body? What does it sound like when I speak? How does it breathe? How does it stand? When you embody faith, you stop asking, "When will it come?" and start living as if it already has. Not to pretend, but to resonate, to match the shape of the unseen, to meet the reality that already exists in the field, but needs you to become the one who holds it. Faith is a choice, a practice, a vibrational container. And when you hold it long enough, what was once invisible becomes inevitable. Chapter 2. Inner Evidence. Feeling it before seeing it. Faith does not begin with what you see. It starts with what you feel, before anything around you has changed. This is the great misunderstanding of spiritual seekers and scientific minds alike. Waiting for external confirmation before allowing internal conviction, but true faith flips the order. It says, "I will feel it now, and the world will rise to meet me later." Hebrews calls faith the evidence of things not seen. But in the spiritual laboratory of your inner world, feeling is the evidence. Emotion is the signal that you have stepped into the state, even when your circumstances still deny it. Neville Goddard taught that your job is not to change the world. Your job is to change states of consciousness. And the fastest way to do that isn't just through thought, but through feeling. Deep, sensory, embodied imagination. He would say, "It is not what you want that you attract. You attract what you believe to be true." However, belief does not reside solely in the mind. It must descend into the body, into the rhythm of your breath, the way you walk, the tone of your inner voice. Dr. Caroline Leaf, a neuroscientist and mind expert, expands on this. Thoughts are real physical things that occupy mental real estate. They affect every cell in your body. When you feel the reality of your desire as if it were already here, you're not just daydreaming, you are wiring your brain and signaling your nervous system into alignment with a new destiny. Neurons begin firing in agreement. Emotions release chemicals that correspond to their state. Your subconscious, which doesn't differentiate between real and vividly imagined, accepts this felt truth as fact. That's why just visualizing is not enough. Visualization without feeling is like lightning with no thunder. Visible, but not resonant. It flickers, but does not strike. But when you close your eyes and feel the wish fulfilled, the relief, the joy, the wholeness, your body believes you. It relaxes. It softens. It opens. And that opening becomes an invitation to the field. I'm ready now. Think of it like connecting to your Wi-Fi. You can't connect until you find the right network. And the frequency of faith is not found in your thinking. It's found in your state of being. So the question isn't, do I believe? The real question is, can I feel the future before it arrives? This isn't pretending. It's preparing. It's pre-living. It's aligning your biology with the future you desire before it has a chance to contradict you. Practice it gently. Don't force yourself to feel ecstasy. Feel subtle certainty. Feel the shift in breath. Feel your shoulders drop. Feel the emotional yes that says, "This is already true inside of me." Because when that happens, when the body accepts the reality as now, you stop praying from lack. You stop visualizing from a distance. You stop waiting. You start embodying. That's when your thoughts become instructions. That's when the field, the divine mind, the quantum mirror, responds not to your words, but to your state. The challenge? Your outer world may take time to catch up. This is where most people abandon the process. They say, "It's not working." But that statement alone is the collapse of the frequency. It's not your job to create the outcome. It's your job to hold the signal, even in silence, even in delay, even in contradiction. Because if you feel the thing now, and you stay loyal to that feeling, you are already broadcasting into the invisible, and the invisible is more powerful than you think. Faith lives in your emotional core. Faith moves from the mind into the nervous system, and once your body feels it as real, your world must follow. So today, Don't wait for the evidence. Become it. Become the answer. Become the frequency. Become the person who no longer hopes, but holds. Because once you feel it, you've already touched the edge of creation. Chapter 3. Your body is the belief. You can say all the right affirmations. You can write the perfect vision. You can read every book on manifestation. But if your body doesn't believe it, your results will reflect your biology, not your words, because the body doesn't lie. It holds the truth of what you think, what you expect, and what you really believe you're allowed to receive. The mind may entertain possibilities, but the body broadcasts conviction. Neville Goddard said, "Change your conception of yourself, and you will automatically change the world in which you live." But conception isn't just mental. It's embodied. It's the way you walk, the way you breathe, the tone in your voice, and the frequency of your inner state. It's not just what you believe, it's what your nervous system has normalized. And the nervous system is trained not by words, but by experience and repetition. Dr. Bruce Lipton, pioneer of cellular biology and author of The Biology of Belief, explains this clearly. Your beliefs become biology. You are not a victim of your genes. You are a result of the perceptions you hold. In other words, you're not stuck because of your DNA. You're stuck because of what your body has learned to expect. And most expectations aren't conscious. They're stored in posture, breath, hormones, and muscle memory. When you say, "I am abundant," but your shoulders are hunched in fear, your gut is tight with anxiety, your nervous system is bracing for another disappointment, your body sends a mixed signal into the field, and the quantum mirror doesn't respond to what you say. It responds to what you are. That's why embodiment is not optional. It's the carrier signal of creation. You cannot broadcast wealth from a body still coded in survival. You cannot vibrate love from a posture of defense. You cannot carry healing while holding shame. So what does it mean to bring the body into belief? It means you teach your body how to feel safe with your desires, not just to think they're possible, but to feel they are already happening. You start with small, consistent cues. Relax your breath when you think about what you want. Soften your posture as if it's already here. Walk through the world like someone who already knows the answer is on its way. Speak less from hope, more from certainty. This is not acting. This is alignment. You are conditioning your body to hold a new signal, one that's no longer rehearsing lack, fear, or unworthiness. Dr. Joe Dispenza calls this becoming the body of the future. He teaches that your biology will begin to match your identity once you shift the internal frequency. Your body becomes the container for a new outcome, but only if you embody it now. Here's the real power. Once the body believes, you no longer need to chase proof. You walk into rooms differently. You speak slower, softer, with more weight in your words. People respond to you. Not because you're trying, but because your presence now speaks a louder truth than your words ever could. This is when the body becomes the field. And the field responds with people, resources, and timing that match the vibration you carry. If you've struggled with why it hasn't happened yet, ask yourself, what is my body still bracing against? What is my posture still protecting? What part of me hasn't yet caught up to the prayer I keep repeating? because the prayer is not just what you say. It's how you breathe. It's how you sit. It's how you receive compliments. It's how you treat yourself when no one is watching. This chapter isn't about forcing confidence. It's about training your body to trust the very future you've been waiting for. You don't do this once. You do it daily, not with pressure, but with precision. Because your body isn't in the way. It's the path. And when your body begins to carry the belief, you no longer wonder if the manifestation is close. You feel it. Because now, you've become it. And the universe always reflects what you've already become. Chapter 4. The field responds to certainty, not begging. The universe does not respond to desperation. It doesn't react to how loudly you ask, or how long you've waited, or how sincerely you plead. It responds to certainty. It responds to the quiet, anchored knowing that says, "This is already mine." Not because you forced it, but because you became it. Neville Goddard said, "Claim yourself to be that which you desire to be. Do it in faith, not in anxiety." Faith is not begging the sky. Faith is stepping into the scene as if the curtain has already risen and the role is already yours. You don't beg for what you believe you're worthy of. You embody it. You become the tone of it. This is the energetic principle at the heart of every sacred tradition. Those who believe, truly, deeply, physiologically receive, and belief is not noise. Belief is resonance. It's the frequency the field locks onto. Like a tuning fork, your internal vibration calls forward what is already present in the unseen. But most people come from a place of lack. They pray from absence. They visualize from a place of fear that it won't come. And what does the field mirror? Lack, absence, fear. That's not punishment. That's precision. Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz, a leading neuroscientist in neuroplasticity, describes this in neurological terms. The power is in the focus. Whatever you attend to, with intensity and repetition, shapes your brain, your emotions, and your actions. In other words, the field of reality, whether biological or quantum, is shaped by what you consistently affirm as true. If your prayers are focused on what's missing, your body rehearses a lack. Your brain reinforces it, and your field broadcasts that signal. But when you shift to certainty, not forced, but felt the mirror of reality has no choice but to reflect you back. This is not about arrogance. It's about alignment. Certainty says, "I know who I am. I trust the process. I am already living inside the answered prayer." And the field, God, the universe, the quantum realm, responds to that tone of completion, not the shrill cry of waiting. This is why manifestations often come the moment you stop obsessing. Because obsession is not faith. It's fear with a spiritual disguise. The most powerful people in the world don't shout their desires. They carry them. They walk with them. They speak as though the thing is already integrated. And that inner integration creates outer invitation. Here's the paradox. You'll see results faster when you stop needing them to prove anything. When your frequency becomes self-sufficient, you pull reality into alignment with you instead of chasing it like a ghost. So how do you shift from begging to certainty? You don't do it through force. You do it through familiarity. You rehearse the feeling of the outcome until your nervous system no longer flinches. You practice the inner tone of completion until it becomes your default. You breathe like someone who trusts. You walk like someone who's already arrived. You speak like someone who knows, not someone who's still trying to convince themselves. And slowly, day by day, the old state of it's not here yet dissolves. And you begin to live from the frequency of finished. Faith becomes flesh. Invisible becomes inevitable. And the field reflects not your wishes, but your certainty. You stop knocking on the door of your desire and realize you're already standing inside the house. That is the power of true faith. Not loud, not desperate, just quietly, consistently, undeniably sure. Chapter 5. The middle is the test, holding faith, when nothing has changed. Faith is easy when things are changing, when the signs are obvious, and when the doors are opening, when synchronicities feel like a trail of breadcrumbs from heaven. But what about when nothing moves? When the world around you is still the same? When the numbers haven't shifted? The body still aches? The relationship hasn't returned? The opportunity hasn't called? That's the real test. That's where most people abandon their manifestation, not because it wasn't coming, but because they stopped carrying it when it didn't arrive on their timeline. Neville Goddard called this space living in the end. He taught that faith isn't tested by whether you can believe something once, but whether you can hold it consistently, even when every sense contradicts it. This middle space, the gap between assumption and evidence, is where faith becomes either a frequency or a fantasy, and the difference lies in your ability to remain. Dr. Rick Hansen, a psychologist and author of Hardwiring Happiness, explains, "The brain is like Velcro for the negative and Teflon for the positive. You must deliberately sustain positive states long enough for them to be encoded." In other words, your biology is wired to look for what's not working, to scan for danger, to collapse back into doubt the moment reality doesn't immediately match your desire. That's why the middle is the proving ground, not for the universe, but for you. It's where you decide, do I believe what I saw in my imagination? Or do I let the silence of the outer world cancel the truth I've built within? Faith means holding the frequency. After the prayer has been spoken, after the vision has been seen, after the nervous system has calmed, even when life seems quiet, especially when life seems quiet. Because silence doesn't mean absence. Stillness doesn't mean failure. Delay doesn't mean denial. The field is reconfiguring. The mirror is aligning. But most importantly, you are being refined. In the middle, your nervous system is learning stability. Your subconscious is learning trust. And your frequency is being calibrated to hold what you've asked for, without needing it to show up instantly to feel safe. This is not punishment. It's precision. Think of it like a radio signal. You tune into the station. You hold it. And you keep the dial still, even when there's static. Because, you know, the broadcast is there. It just hasn't come through clearly yet. The only way to hear it fully is to stay tuned. So how do you stay faithful in the middle? Not through force, but through anchoring practices. Speak your I am statements even when they feel distant. Recall the vision with emotional weight, not desperation. Celebrate internal shifts, even subtle ones. Notice the temptation to scan for what's wrong and choose instead to hold what's right. When doubt comes, don't fight it. Witness it, then return to the state. Neville said, "Persist in the assumption that your desire is already fulfilled, for in that persistence, reality is compelled to conform." And science agrees. Dr. Rick Hansen reminds us that repetition creates structure, and that structure becomes the default. Your job is to feed the desired identity until it becomes effortless. Until your body, your thoughts, your choices match. The middle is not meaningless. It's a sacred space, a womb, a waiting room, an altar, where you don't perform your faith. You prove it to yourself, not to earn the outcome, but to become the one who can hold it. So if you're in the middle now, in the not yet, in the almost, in the long exhale before the breakthrough, remember this. You are not being punished. You are being polished. You are learning the energy of unwavering trust. The kind of trust that turns dreams into form. The kind of trust that makes heaven move. The kind of trust that no longer needs to be convinced. Because that's what the field responds to, not panic, not proof, but unwavering, quiet, radiant certainty. Hold your frequency. This is the test, and you are passing it. Chapter 6. Breaking the loop of doubt. Doubt doesn't just visit, it loops. It cycles in quiet thoughts, in nervous habits, in subtle postures of I hope rather than I know. It says, what if this doesn't work? Maybe I imagine too much. What if I was wrong to believe? But doubt is not the voice of wisdom. It's the echo of old conditioning that echoes so familiar, you mistake it for truth. And if left unexamined, those thoughts become a form of architecture. They build neural pathways. They create a vibration of hesitation. And soon, you're not creating from faith. You're creating from fear of disappointment. Neville Goddard said, "To be conscious of being poor while praying for riches is to be rewarded with that which you are conscious of being, namely, poverty." You cannot doubt while you declare and expect to manifest what you do not fully believe. Your reality is shaped not by your desire, but by your dominant assumption. And when doubt becomes dominant, you remain stuck in the in-between, repeating affirmations with your mouth while your heart waits for proof. Dr. Caroline Leaf, a cognitive neuroscientist, explains it this way. Thoughts become physical matter. Every repeated negative belief, especially one rooted in fear, rewires the brain to expect failure. Doubt, then, is not just emotional. It's neurological. It becomes your operating system until you interrupt it. Interrupting the loop begins with awareness, not judgment, not suppression, not pretending the doubt isn't there, but watching it, naming it, choosing again. Here's how the loop of doubt usually unfolds. You plant a new belief. You imagine, affirm, visualize, you feel inspired briefly. The frequency is high. The vision feels close. Then nothing changes immediately. The outer world delays. The silence grows. The old voice returns. This isn't working. Maybe I need a backup plan. Who am I to believe this? You emotionally react. You contract. You slip into disappointment or panic. You repeat the old pattern, not because it's true, but because it's familiar. That's the loop. And most people stay in it for years. But the loop isn't a curse. It's a signal. A message from your subconscious asking, "Can I trust the new path?" And your job is not to argue with it, but to train it. How? Step 1. Pause and witness. When doubt arises, pause. Breathe. Say inwardly, "This is an old loop. I see it. I don't have to follow it." That moment of awareness is the beginning of freedom. Step 2. Replace with higher language. Speak a new declaration, not from force, but from grounding. "I am safe to trust again. This pattern is passing, not permanent. My faith is becoming stronger." The brain responds to new words when they're spoken with presence. Step 3. Rehearse emotion, not just words. Dr. Leaf emphasizes that feelings give language weight. If you want to rewire belief, feel the emotion of safety, peace, and assurance as you speak. Let your body memorize how certainty feels. Step 4. Catch it sooner. Every time the loop returns, catch it 1 second sooner. With practice, the reaction loses power. The gap between the trigger and your awareness widens. And that's where transformation happens. Because the goal is not to eliminate doubt forever. It's to stop letting it drive. Neville said, "You must assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled until your assumption becomes your reality." And that assumption cannot survive if every pause is filled with panic. You must learn to wait in wholeness, not anxiety. Every time you choose peace over panic, stillness over spiraling, clarity over control, you're breaking the loop. You're teaching your mind and body, "This is who I am now." Not the old story. Not the fearful voice. Not the fallback identity. But the one who trusts. The one who holds the signal. The one who doesn't need evidence to stay faithful. Because when you master this inner posture, you become the evidence. You no longer need signs. You are the sign. You walk with a new rhythm, and the field responds. So when doubt comes, and it will, don't resist it. Don't collapse into it. Interrupt it. Redirect it. Replace it. Transcend it. And then return. Not to the begging frequency, but to the grounded knowing of one who understands. Faith doesn't panic. It persists. Chapter 7. Faith as spiritual technology. Why it always works, but not always how you expect. Imagine faith not merely as an abstract spiritual concept, but as a precise operational technology, a a finely tuned instrument designed to interact with the invisible laws that govern reality. Just as you rely on your smartphone or laptop to connect with global networks, faith is your spiritual device to connect directly with the quantum field, the cosmic internet of infinite possibilities. When Jesus said, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move,' and it will move," he wasn't using poetic exaggeration. He was pointing directly to a profound spiritual law. Mustard seeds are minuscule, yet encoded within their tiny form is the potential for enormous growth and transformation. Likewise, faith, however small it may initially be, is encoded with exponential potential when properly activated. Faith works consistently, just like gravity or electromagnetism. It never fails to respond to genuine emotional and mental coherence. But here's where most people misinterpret this spiritual technology. Faith doesn't always manifest exactly as anticipated. It responds not to your surface-level wishes, but to your underlying vibrational frequency, your deepest beliefs, expectations, and emotional states. For example, you might pray earnestly for financial abundance while unconsciously resonating with lack and fear. In such cases, faith will reflect your true vibrational signal rather than your superficial request. This isn't punishment or irony. It's simply the precise and unbiased response of the quantum field to your authentic frequency. Neuroscientist Dr. Andrew Newberg emphasizes how focused belief, the neurological counterpart of faith, triggers measurable changes in brain chemistry. Faith initiates shifts in the amygdala, hippocampus, and prefrontal cortex, creating coherence in your neural pathways. This coherence then resonates into the quantum field, aligning reality with your internal state. In simpler terms, faith instructs reality how to behave around you, based on what you genuinely embody, not merely what you claim to desire. The practical challenge, therefore, becomes mastering your internal state, refining your frequency, and aligning your conscious intentions with your subconscious beliefs. Think of faith as a radio tuner. Clarity and consistency are key. A scattered mind filled with doubt produces static, while focused, steady belief creates a clear and powerful broadcast. This principle is echoed by Dr. Joseph Murphy, who wisely stated, "Your subconscious mind takes the orders you give it based upon what your conscious mind believes and accepts as true." Many seekers mistakenly abandon faith after initial setbacks, misunderstanding that the technology is failing. In reality, these moments are vital feedback mechanisms showing exactly where internal adjustments are needed. Consider setbacks as diagnostic tools, pinpointing precisely which beliefs require recalibration. The universe, through faith, is always guiding you toward greater alignment, even if the path appears indirect or confusing at first. When the results don't immediately match your expectation, consider the possibility that the universe is orchestrating a far superior outcome, one that you might not yet conceive. Your limited perspective may not always foresee the higher, multidimensional arrangements that are happening behind the scenes. Faith trusts in the broader intelligence of life, knowing that even apparent detours serve an essential purpose. Imagine setting a GPS for your destination. You trust the technology implicitly, even when it takes you on unexpected routes to avoid traffic or roadblocks. Similarly, faith guides you through seemingly indirect paths, steering you clear of unseen obstacles and toward your highest good. It's not about blind optimism. It's about informed trust in a reliable spiritual system. As you master faith as spiritual technology, you'll discover its incredible reliability. The more you trust its precision, the more you'll see its effects in your life. Faith always works, and as your understanding deepens, you'll realize it delivers precisely what's needed, often exceeding your expectations and providing exactly what serves your most significant evolution. Ultimately, faith as spiritual technology is not a whimsical gamble. It's a dependable, universal force, meticulously responding to your inner coherence. The journey of mastering faith isn't about eliminating uncertainty, but rather developing unshakable confidence in the technology itself. Align your beliefs, refine your frequencies, and watch in awe as faith consistently, inevitably, reshapes your reality, often in ways more profound and beautiful than you ever imagined. Chapter 8, Living from the Answer, Becoming the Embodiment of the Prayer. Neville Goddard famously instructed, "Live in the end," teaching that you must not simply anticipate your desire, but fully occupy its reality now. Similarly, Christian scripture urges believers to walk by faith, not by sight, emphasizing the necessity of embodying belief long before any physical evidence appears. Living from the answer requires a radical shift in perspective. Rather than praying and then anxiously scanning your external circumstances for confirmation, you must confidently occupy the consciousness of your desired outcome. Your life, thoughts, feelings, and actions must radiate from the state of the prayer already fulfilled. This shift is not merely psychological, it is profoundly spiritual, aligning you energetically with the quantum field, where all possibilities exist simultaneously. Consider the biblical story of Abraham, who was promised descendants as numerous as the stars. Despite visible circumstances contradicting the promise, his old age, his wife's barrenness, he walked as though the promise was already fulfilled. His faith was credited as righteousness because he lived from the answer, not the question. Abraham didn't spend his days hoping or doubting. He embodied the state of having already received. In practical terms, living from the answer means organizing your inner world as though your prayer is already fulfilled. If you pray for healing, embody vibrant health now. If you seek abundance, occupy the frequency of prosperity today. Your emotional states, internal dialogues, and actions must be congruent with the realization of your prayer. Neville Goddard articulated it clearly. Assume the feeling of your wish fulfilled, and continue feeling that it is fulfilled until that which you feel objectifies itself. Modern neuroscience supports this ancient spiritual wisdom. Dr. Candace Pert, a renowned neuroscientist, discovered that emotions are biochemical messengers shaping our cells, literally transforming our physiology according to our emotional states. When you consistently live in states of gratitude, abundance, and joy, reflecting the prayers already answered, you trigger profound neurological and physiological changes, aligning your entire being with your desired reality. Yet, embodying the prayer is more than visualization or positive thinking. It's a comprehensive integration that aligns your subconscious beliefs with your conscious intent. You cannot profess abundance while secretly harboring fears of scarcity. Authentic embodiment requires you to resolve internal contradictions, bringing all aspects of your consciousness into harmony with your chosen state. How do you practically live from the answer daily? Start by asking yourself, who would I be if my prayer were already answered? How would I walk, speak, and feel? Align every decision, reaction, and emotion with this empowered identity. Your behaviors and reactions become your declaration of faith, an ongoing prayer lived out moment by moment. Remember, faith serves as spiritual technology, consistently delivering your authentic frequency. Therefore, your daily practice must ensure you embody certainty rather than doubt, gratitude rather than desperation, and joy rather than anxiety. This commitment is precisely why the Apostle Paul declared, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." As you consistently embody your prayer, the external world inevitably mirrors your internal coherence. What seemed distant or impossible begins to materialize effortlessly. Yet by the time it does, your inner transformation will have rendered the result secondary. The true miracle is the person you've become in the process, the embodiment of faith itself. In the end, living from the answer is about more than manifesting specific outcomes. It's about becoming a living testament to the power of faith. As you practice this way of being, you discover your life itself becomes a prayer, a continuous conversation with the divine unfolding perfectly through you. You no longer wait anxiously for answers. You joyously embody them, walking boldly in faith and revealing the boundless possibilities available to all who dare to truly believe.